The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
I want you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 15. We continue our study of this wonderful chapter, John chapter 15. I want to read the first seven verses once again. We're going to look at just verses 4 through 6 this morning, but I want to read the first seven verses as we set the context for this message. Let me start reading in verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. It's a rich, rich, rich passage right here. We've been in it for 2 weeks now. In our third week this morning, we want to dive again into this wonderful section of Scripture. It was a couple years ago when I remember reading these verses and having the words of verse 5 really grip my heart. Look at the end of verse 5. It says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'd read those words many times before. I'd heard them. I'd studied them before. But for the first time, God gripped my heart. God got a hold of my heart. And God helped me see in a way that I'd never seen before the glory of that statement by Christ. That apart from me, you can do nothing. The first time those words just really sunk into my soul. And I began to realize that really, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I can't work, I can't eat, I can't minister, I can't parent, I can't be married, I can't even breathe without Jesus Christ. And for the first time, I think I grasped the importance of really knowing Christ and walking with Christ and loving Christ and fellowshipping with Christ. And that's what these verses are all about. They're all about the believer's connection and relationship to Jesus Christ. There's three sections in this chapter. The first 10 verses or so are about the believer's relationship with Christ. Verses 11 through about 15 are our relationship with each other. And then from verse 16 to the end is about the believer's relationship to the world. These verses that we're in this morning are about our relationship with Jesus Christ and how we are to walk closely with Him and intimately with Him. And I think all of us here this morning probably know that this is something important. We need to do this. We need to have this. And we want this. We want to walk closely with Christ. We want to be intimately related with Christ. We want to be so well connected to Christ that He's living us in us and we're living in Him. But I think for some of us, we don't really know what that means. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know how that actually functions in a daily relationship with Christ. What does this mean? What does this look like? And maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people who wants that. You want that close relationship with Christ. You want that fellowship with Him that's more than just kind of superficial and external. You want that deep down, true, real relationship with Christ. You want Him working in you. You want to be used of Him, and you really want to sink yourself into Christ and really dwell with Him on a daily basis in unbroken communion with Him. And you want that. And yet you're saying, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. I don't even know kind of how that fleshes out. And it seems so foreign to me. And it seems so strange to me. And Christ at times seems so distant from me. Well, I'm excited this morning to show you this passage because that's what this is all about. And Jesus is going to continue to elaborate for us what this means about the vine and the branches and how that fits together and how that's a perfect metaphor for our relationship with Christ. And so as we come to chapter 15 again, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. He's told them it's time for him to go. Judas has left. And Jesus is telling them that he's no longer going to be with them, that he's going to have to go and depart. And so they've been left as his representatives. They've been called to be his representatives on the earth and carry on his mission and his work. And so they feel just totally helpless. These 11 disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem on the night before Christ's crucifixion, they're feeling helpless and resourceless. And they're like, how is this going to happen? And everything seems to be falling apart. And Jesus is here reassuring them and strengthening them. And to help them understand all the resources that are theirs, he uses this wonderful metaphor, this metaphor of the vine and the branches. Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And so here's this wonderful metaphor of a vineyard, and Christ is the vine, and the Father, God the Father, is the one who has planted that vineyard and is caring for that vineyard and is pruning and cultivating that vineyard. And he says in verse 5 that we are the branches. And so you have this relationship here of God the Father working through his Son to work in us, the branches. And so there's this beautiful metaphor of how God is working in and through his people and desires to work through us for his glory. We're looking at 8 truths about abiding in Christ. 8 truths that come from this text. And we've seen 4 already. We're going to see 2 today, and we'll see 2 or more. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn out to be 10 next week. We'll see. Truths about abiding in Christ. Let me just review for you where we've been the last couple weeks. First, we've said that there is an intimate union between Christ and the believer. This is the first lesson that we really pulled out, that Christ is trying to communicate here in using this metaphor of the vine and the branches, that he desires this intimate, close union with us. There's really no closer relationship than a branch and a vine. They're so close that sometimes you can't even tell where the vine stops and the branch begins. They're so closely intertwined with each other, and all the resources from the vine are flowing into the branch. And Jesus' point is, that's what my relationship with you is like. If you're in Christ, there is an intimate union between Christ and the believer. There's a second truth that we talked about. A very sobering truth. And it's number 2, we said that not every branch in Christ is a true believer. We said that there are, in vines, in vineyards, there are branches that, though they are attached to the vine, they are not actually into the life-sustaining resources of that vine. And so they appear to be a part of the vine, and they appear to be part of that vineyard, but in reality, they will never bear fruit. Because they're not attached into the life-sustaining juices and strength and energy of that vine. And so we said in verse 2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We said this is a very difficult passage because the in me makes it sound like Jesus is talking about believers here. They're in me, but he's really using this as a metaphor that they appear to be in me, and by the fact that they don't bear fruit, show that they're not really in me. And so we called these Judas branches, branches that appear to be in the vine, but are really not into the vine because they're not bearing fruit. They're superficially attached. We said, thirdly, that believers are saved and united with Christ to bear fruit. Not bananas, not grapes, not oranges. We're united with Christ and saved by Christ in order that we would bear fruit, that we would give evidence of the fact that we have been saved and regenerated by Christ himself. And the fruit that is born from that is the evidence that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And so we said that God wants us to have a fruitful life. He wants us to bear much fruit. He wants our life to be like a fruit tree that is producing a crop of spiritual fruit that demonstrates that you are intimately connected with the vine, Jesus Christ. We said that we do that for the glory of God. We don't bear fruit for ourselves. We bear fruit for God. Just like the vine dresser does not bear fruit, or the branch does not bear fruit for itself, it bears fruit for the vine dresser. And so the same is true in the Christian life. We bear fruit for God to show that he has redeemed us and he has adopted us and placed us in Christ. Number four, we said that God lovingly prunes us to make us more fruitful. Verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. And so we said last week that God loves you so much, if you're in Christ, that he's going to bring suffering into your life to prune you, to snip off those areas of your life that are sucking the life from the plant, that are not helpful. And God uses suffering, and it's painful, but it's good. It's good because it enables us to know Christ more intimately and to have all the life-sustaining energy of Christ to flow into us and to have that close, intimate connection with him. Some of you are here this morning, you're being pruned. And last week was very helpful for us to kind of put it in proper perspective. Yes, it's hard. And it's so painful. And yet he says in verse 2, he does that in order that it may bear more fruit. So these are the truths that we've seen so far. We're going to see two more truths this morning that spring from verses 4 through 6. And I trust that these are going to be an encouragement to you, that they're going to be a blessing to your soul as they remind you of the resources that are yours in Christ. So let's look at two more. First, number 5 is a fruitful life is impossible apart from Christ. We're going to kind of set the stage for point number 6, and we're going to say what point number 5 is all about in order for us to really truly embrace what number 6 is about. And so number 5 is a fruitful life is impossible apart from Christ. And so let's look at verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is so important. This is so crucial for us to understand this. This is so necessary for us to get this, because there are so many people going through life assuming that they can make it on their own, that they're trying to bear their own fruit. And so many people, even in the church, that are just trying to get by in their own effort, and they're trying to gut it out and do their own thing, and they're trying to just bear their own fruit and do it in their own strength and be independent. And Jesus' words here are so important. Look at verse 4. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Now, I don't want to insult your intelligence, because I think most of us get this, but here's what he's saying. He's saying if the branch isn't connected to the vine, the branch won't bear fruit. And we can understand that a branch is lifeless and useless unless it remains in the vine and attached to the vine. As long as the life-sustaining juices of the vine are flowing into that branch, it's going to bear fruit. But as soon as that branch is severed from the life of the vine, it's rendered incapable of bearing fruit. As soon as that branch is cut off, it's cut off from the juices that produce that fruit, so it's going to bear no fruit anymore. At our house, Julie has been trying for years to just plant a little sapling. And something happens every year. Some kids come by and they whack it off with their little saws, you know, or some husband runs it over with a lawnmower, you know. And so there's been this vivid illustration in our yard for the past few years that when it's cut off, it's going to die, right? And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He says, when you're not connected to me, you're going to bear no fruit. That's his point. You can't bear fruit if you're not connected to the vine. And so he says, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Look at that little phrase, of itself. Literally by itself or from itself. There's this truth that's so basic and it's so important for us to understand that the branch has no life in itself. You understand that, right? You can't take a branch and just kind of plant it and it's going to do its own thing. It's got to be sustained to the roots, and it's got to be sustained to the vine, the where it draws its life from. The branch is nourished and sustained by the life of the vine. So there's nothing in the branch that can produce fruit. There's nothing there. It cannot and will not produce any fruit. It's by itself. It may produce some leaves temporarily, but it will never bear any fruit. No matter how close you get that branch to the vine, it can be detached, and you can kind of get it there really close. But no matter what you do, it's not going to bear fruit. It could be a mile away, or it could be half an inch away. It doesn't matter if it's not connected into that vine. You can glue it on, you can tack it on, but if it's not attached to the vine, it will bear no fruit. Because a branch in and of itself has no fruit-producing capacity. So Jesus is drawing a very simple but very profound analogy here for us, and truth here for us, that a fruitful life is impossible apart from Christ. And he says that in the end of verse 4. Look what he says at the end of verse 4. So neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, he makes the link. And what is true of the branch and the vine is also true for us. What is true in agriculture is also true in our lives, that the person who does not remain in Christ cannot and will not bear any fruit. They can't. The fruit-producing capacity comes from the vine. It comes from Christ. It comes from Him. It doesn't come from us. We're just the branches. We're just the ones that hold the fruit and direct the juices to where the fruit is going to be produced. We as the branches have no capacity in ourselves to produce fruit. It's only when we remain united with Christ and derive our life from Him that we can produce any fruit. These men needed to know that. These 11 men in this room in Jerusalem are about to be sent out into the world as Christ's representatives. And they're feeling lost, helpless, hopeless. And Jesus says, it's okay. Because if you're in me, you're in the vine. And if you're in the vine, all of my energy, all of my strength, all of my resources are yours. And they're going to flow to you as long as you continually and completely depend on me. All these resources are going to be yours. But if they tried to do it on their own, they would bear no fruit. See what he's doing? He's trying to direct these men to where their hearts need to focus. They need to be focused on the fact that their strength and resources are not coming from themselves, but through Christ who will sustain them and strengthen them. Look at the end of verse 5. He says at the end of verse 5, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." That's not really hard for us to understand, is it? We can get that. We can do nothing apart from Christ. We are entirely helpless apart from Him. And we will bear no fruit and have no fruit in our lives as long as we remain separate from Christ. He says, apart from me. Literally, separate from me or by yourselves. This is a very interesting word. It's used in John chapter 20 and verse 7. After Christ was resurrected, it says that the linen cloth, the face cloth, which had been on his head, was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Same word. And so in the open tomb, the tomb of Christ, after he was raised from the dead, there were the linen wrappings that wrapped his body. And then over here was the face wrapping. It was by itself. It was apart from and separate from. They weren't linked together. They were separate from each other. And that's exactly what Jesus is using here. He's using the same analogy here. When you're apart from me, when you're separate from me, you're going to bear no fruit. This is how he says it in the original. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You are not able to do nothing. You see what he's saying? It's bad English, but it's really good Greek. He's saying, if you're apart from me, you are not able to do nothing. And so what he's doing is he's trying to show you how serious this is or how important this is for us to get this. It's a double negative in the Greek. He really, really, really wants us to understand that apart from him, we can't do nothing. We can't live the fruitful life apart from Christ. So here's the meaning. Here's kind of what Jesus is driving at. He is driving at the fact that a fruitful life is impossible apart from Christ. I believe there's a couple implications of this. And I believe that Jesus has two groups of people in mind here. And I want to take some time for a few moments and explore this with you. I believe he has two groups of people in mind. One, the phony believer, and two, the believer who's not truly appreciating and enjoying all the resources that are theirs in Christ. I want to talk about those two groups of people because I think both of them are in view here. Jesus' words here have primary meaning, I believe, to those who appear to be in Christ but are not in Christ. And we've talked about this before, and at risk of being charged with making this something we constantly talk about, it's in the text. And we're going to draw it out because it's here and it's right consistent with the verse 2 where Christ is talking about this. And so we've talked about this a couple Sundays ago, but let me just remind you that Jesus has in mind here the kind of people like Judas, where Judas was with Christ for 3 years and he was with him day in and day out. And he saw him minister. He listened to his teaching. He was ministered to personally by Christ himself. And yet Judas was not a true follower of Christ. So this is a difficult passage to interpret. These are not referring to, in verse 2, those Christians who lose their salvation, nor is it referring to Christians who are living a carnal life. It's not referring to those people. It's referring to superficial branches, Judas branches. They are tacked on. They look like they're tied into the vine. They may even appear to be kind of growing and have some leaves around it, but there's something missing because they're not adequately tied into the vine. They're not into the life-sustaining juices of that system, and so they can't bear fruit. Every gardener knows this. Every vineyard keeper knows this. Every farmer knows this. As long as that happens, all those juices go into those branches. It sucks away the life-sustaining juices from the rest of the plant, and it compromises the fruit. And so the farmer has no choice. He has to cut them off. That's what verse 2 says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes them away. He cuts them off. What does he do with them? Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is what happens to them. The vine keeper takes them away, he throws them in a pile, they wither, they dry up, and then they're thrown into the fire and they are burned. And this is a metaphor for what happens to those who appear to be in Christ by some sort of superficial attachment, but are not themselves in Christ. And lest you think that this is something that's just maybe I'm reading into here, I wanted to take you to Matthew chapter 13. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see a similar analogy. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. In John 15, it says that when these branches are cut off, they are gathered together and cast into the fire. You ever wonder who does that? Ever wonder who gathers these branches together? You're going to see this in chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares. Look what he says in verse 24. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident as well. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' He said, 'No. That's why you're gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them.'" He's saying, don't go and try and root out the tares from your people or your church or your assembly. Don't try and do that, because if you do that, you're going to rip out some true wheat as well. So verse 30, "Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now, what does this mean? Skip down to verse 36. He explains the meaning of this parable. "Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field.' And he answered and said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age.'" And listen to this. "And the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Very similar to what Jesus is saying in John 15. There are people who seem to be attached to the vine, but are just superficially attached. They're not the real thing. And it's very similar to these tares that were sown in the field, and they grow up next to the wheat, and they look just very similar to the wheat, and you can't tell until the harvest comes. And Jesus says in that day, he's going to send forth his angels, and they will gather them together, and they will be burned with fire. Go over to chapter 15 again of John. I think that's exactly what he's referring to here. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Now down to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them. Who's they? The angels. The angels gather them at the end of the age and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. So he's referring here to those superficial believers. Those phony Christians who have no spiritual life flowing through them. They look like it. They kind of play the part. They kind of look like it on the outside, but they have no root in the vine. And so Jesus says these are people who profess faith in Christ, but really don't know him. They're like Judas. Judas is the example for all of us not to follow. Many Judases today. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, and churches filled. Churches are filled today, even with people who come to church regularly. They attend a Bible study. Maybe young people who come to the church because they want to be involved in a youth group or be a part of a youth ministry. They come with their friends, or husbands who come with their wives just to keep peace in their home, or wives who come with their husbands and they look the part. This is prevalent today. You say, how do you know who these people are? 1 John 2:19 says they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. And so, you know, these people, they kind of hang around for a while. They're here. They're a part of an assembly of people. They're a part of a group of believers, and they're there. They seem really interested in spiritual things for a while. They want to get involved, and they're there for some time, and they look like they're really excited about the things of the Lord. And then all of a sudden they're gone. Like, what happened? What happened? Where was that person? They seem so excited about the things of the Lord. Where did they go? What happened to them? They show they're not really a true follower of Christ. J.C. Ryle says this. He says, where there is no fruit, there is no life. He that lacks these things is dead while he lives. He's dead while he lives. We've talked about this a number of times. I don't want to belabor it, but I see it oftentimes in parents. Parents who just want to believe their kids are saved. And I hear it so often. Well, you know, Johnny, Susie, you know, they prayed a prayer when they were six. They said they're Christian, and yet they're not walking with the Lord. They don't love the Lord. They've denied Christ. There's no fruit in their life. They're living in sin. They're living in immorality, but they're still saved. No, that doesn't work. And as earnest as we want to be as parents and seeing our kids come to Christ, we have to understand what Jesus is saying here. If you don't abide in the vine, you're not going to bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you're not the real deal. I hear this oftentimes with believers who share their testimony. I was saved when I was 8. Yet I lived for myself for the next 20 years. I did my own thing. I pursued my own lifestyle. But I was saved. I was saved at 8. Well, when did you really start growing? When did you really start loving Christ and the Word? Well, that was when I was 35, but I was saved at 8. It's like, no. It says you were probably not saved until you were 35. And so Jesus is saying something here so important. There are people who are superficial. And Jesus says, listen, you're not going to bear any fruit by yourself. Julie and I had a couple in our home just yesterday. A couple that came over, you don't know them, not part of our church, young couple. And they came over for some counseling. Very nice couple, very, very kind, and yet they fully admitted we're CE Christians. You know what CE Christians are? Christmas, Easter. Christmas, Easter, you come twice a year. They admitted that. They're CE Christians. They don't go to church. They're not a part of a church family. They really don't have a heart for the Lord. They know that when they start having kids someday, they should go to church for their kids. But they're Christians. So we're talking a little bit about kind of some marriage stuff. And we just said, you know, Christ is the focus of our relationship. Christ and the gospel drives everything. And they say, how does that work? Open door, right? And so for the next hour and a half, we just got to proclaim Christ, preach the gospel to this couple. And you could just see their eyes were just wide and their mouths were almost open and they were fixed on us. And they're like, what is this? You can't bear any fruit apart from Christ. You say, Todd, why do you keep hammering on this? I keep hammering on it because my greatest fear is for someone to sit here or anywhere week after week, month after month, year after year, and be a superficial Christian. That's my greatest fear because eternity's at stake, right? You say, what do I do? Hold that thought because we're going to come back to that in a moment. Jesus is saying to this person, this Judas branch, you're not going to bear any fruit apart from me. You can't. You're a branch. Branches don't bear fruit of themselves. So I think this is one group of people that Jesus has in view here. It's this phony Christian that he's urging them to abide in him. But I think there's another group he has in view here, and it's those disciples, those 11 disciples that were there in that room who are really indicative of what we're like today. And if you're a believer, a true believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to know the same truth, that apart from him, you can bear no fruit. We've been united with Christ. We've been identified with him. We've brought into a close relationship with him. But if you're honest, there'll be times in your life, maybe right now, where your life is dry. Your spiritual life is just dry. And you go to the Bible and you read it and you shut it and you say, nothing there. And you try and go to prayer and you try and talk to the Lord and it's just like there's the ceiling and nothing's happening. You're dry spiritually. You're going through the motions. You're independent. You're trying to gut it out in your own strength. And you know that you're detached from Christ and you're saved, but you know that you're not abiding in him and you're not excited about the things of the word anymore. And there's not that freshness and that enthusiasm in your relationship with Christ. Gospel's not that interesting. You've kind of lost the wonder and the mundane. I know some of you are right now dealing with that. You're in that season of life where it's just kind of dry. I know that because I go through those seasons. We all go through those seasons. This is true. We all go through those times of dryness where we're independent. We're trying to do things on our own. We're trying to gut it out in our own strength. We're trying to kind of work up some fruit so we can kind of convince ourselves and say everything's okay. Jesus says, listen, verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you. He's talking to the 12, the 11. He's saying right to those 11 men who were saved, men, you can't do anything apart from me. You can't live the fruitful life. You can't bear any fruit. You can't enjoy Christ if you're acting independent of the vine, no matter how strong you are, how gifted you are, how many accomplishments you have, how much spiritual fruit you've enjoyed in the past. All of that means nothing in helping you produce fruit today. Many Christians haven't learned this lesson, right? Or many Christians forget this lesson. They kind of go through their life and do their own. They're earning their living. They're providing for their family, but it's in their own strength. They're caring for their family, but it's in their own strength. They're raising their children, but it's in their own strength. They're nice to people, but it's all in their own strength. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in one of those seasons right now. Jesus is saying to you, listen, you can't bear fruit apart from me. You can't. It's impossible. If you're not attached to the vine, if you're not intimately connected to me, the vine, it's a fruitless, no pun intended, effort. Okay? It's fruitless. It's impossible to bear fruit apart from Christ. So stop trying. Stop trying. Stop trying to work it up on your own. Trying to put things in place so it looks good. Stop. So what do you do? What if I'm that phony Christian that you talked about before? Or what if I'm that believer who right now is in that stage of dryness? What do I do? How do I resolve that? Number 6. Here's the 6th lesson that comes from this. Abiding in Christ enables Christ to bear fruit through us. And so everything that we set up to this point really sets the stage for this right here, that abiding in Christ enables Christ to bear fruit through us. And this, I think, is really getting at the heart of what Jesus is trying to communicate to those disciples and to us this morning. He wants us to get this. He wants them to get it. He wants us to get it, that we can bear fruit as Christ does it through us, as we are abiding in Him. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you see a pattern? Do you see a word that's used over and over and over there? It's the word abide. Four times in those two verses. Three times in verse 4. Abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Once in verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, look at verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your love, your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give to you. It's abiding. And so what he's saying here is you've got to abide in Christ. You've got to dwell in Christ. It's the theme of this whole chapter. It just runs right through these verses. And the way that they wrote in that day was to emphasize something. And the way you emphasize it was by writing it over and over and over and over again. That's what Jesus is doing. He's emphasizing it over and over and over and over again to communicate how crucial this is. So what does it mean? You ever thought about it? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Let me give you a definition. It means to stay, to wait, or to remain in something. It means to continue in something or to continue to exist in something. So you've been placed there, and now the point is stay there, remain there, continue there in that state in which you have been placed. I want you to notice in verse 4, abide in me is a command. This is a command. He is commanding you and me to abide. This is something for us to put into practice. It's a command. Abide in me. And when Jesus commands us to do something, he also provides the resources, right? He doesn't just say, do this and then good luck. He provides the resources. He expects us to stay in a vital union with him. The next three uses of the word abide in verse 4 and 5 are all in the present tense. Abide in me. And then he says, unless it abides in the vine, it bears no fruit. So neither can you unless you abide in me. He who abides in me, verse 5, this is all present tense, which means it needs to be the continual, habitual pattern of your life. This is not something that we just do at salvation. This is something that takes place day after day, moment after moment, as the continual, habitual pattern of your life. That's what Christ is saying. He says, you've been placed there. You've been put in me. You've been placed in me at salvation. There's this vital union that has taken place in us because you've come to Christ. And Jesus is saying, now stay there. Remain there. Continue there in that state. See, when you do that, you'll bear fruit. You'll be fruitful. You'll live the fruitful life. Don't separate yourself from me. Don't pull away from me, Jesus is saying. Don't remove yourself from me. He says, stay there. Abide in me. This is so important. So important for us to truly understand this, that Christ is the source of our fruitfulness. You understand that? We can bear no fruit. We can't conjure up enough fruit on our own. We can't kind of work it up on our own. It's got to be Christ in us and Christ through us. And so we're totally dependent on Christ. We're totally dependent on Him to bear the fruit in us and through us for His glory. I want you to notice in verse 4, the only command here is to abide. There's no command to bear fruit. Right? There's no command. There's no command that says, you've got to go bear fruit, so go and work it up and you bear fruit. No, the command is, you abide. Christ has saved us. The Father has chosen us. Christ has saved us. He's placed us in Christ. Now, God is sovereignly keeping us. John 10, there's nothing that can snatch us out of Christ's hands. So God has saved us. Christ has redeemed us. We have been placed in Christ. Nothing can take us out of His hand. And so Jesus' point is just stay there. Just stay there. Where you've been placed, where you've been united with me, positionally, stay where you are because of Christ. Friends, this should free you up. You don't have to run around and conjure up your own fruit. You don't have to try and work and labor and make a diligent effort to bear your own fruit. Listen, because you can't. The only instruction here is to abide. So what do you do in those times when practically you're not abiding in Christ? You know that you haven't lost your position. You're still in Christ. You've not lost your salvation. Positionally, you are still in Him. But when that happens, you're not practicing. I'm not practicing our position, right? I'm not enjoying the resources that are mine in Christ. And so Jesus says, you just keep abiding. You just keep remaining. You keep staying where I've placed you in vital connection with me. And that's where the effort comes in. The effort doesn't come in bearing fruit. The effort comes in abiding. Let me just share a couple passages with you. There are passages that seem to indicate that we've got to put forth effort to make sure we remain saved. Let me just read one of them to you. Colossians 1, 22 and 23. He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If, indeed, you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It sounds like he's saying, if you continue, you'll stay saved. But no, he's saying, if you continue, it will be the evidence that you are saved. And so just stay there. Just remain there. Just keep yourself there. Firmly established and steadfast in Christ. What happens when you get to do that? Look at verse 5. He says, when you abide in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit. You're going to be a fruitful Christian. You're going to be a person who just bears all kinds of evidence that you're a believer in Christ. And we've noted a progression here. In verse 2, he says, you're going to bear fruit. But then he's going to prune you to bear more fruit. And now in verse 5, he's saying you're going to bear much fruit. And so the heart of Christ is to bear fruit in you and through you for His glory. You're going to have a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 says you're going to bear the fruit of a sacrifice of praise. Matthew 3:8 says you're going to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You're going to repent over sin. You have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. These are all evidences, all fruit that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. So here's the instruction. The instruction is just abide. Just find yourself day by day, moment by moment, week by week, abiding in Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? Been thinking this week, how do you try and explain this? I mean, you try and you tell me, because it's so hard. How do you explain and communicate this whole concept of abiding? It's so difficult for us to wrap our minds around, and I think in one sense we make it more complicated than it really is. So let me help you try and wrap your mind around this. Let me say it as simple as I can. Abiding in Christ just means staying as close to Christ as you can. That's it. That's it. It just means staying as close to Christ as you can. It means to be fully connected to Him, to be fully immersed in Him, to lovingly and obediently stay close to Jesus. That's all He's saying. Because the further you get away, the further you distance yourself from the resources that are yours in Him. So His point is abide here, which means just get as close as you can and stay there. Don't wander away. Stay as close as you can. You know when you're not doing that. I know when I'm not doing that. Sin begins to kind of take root in our hearts. And those things of the world start to look a little more attractive, right? We start to become independent. We start to do stuff in our own strength. Jesus says, when you start to do that, you begin to remove yourself from abiding in Me. So what do? You get yourself back to Christ. If you're here and you're one of those phony Christians, maybe it starts by coming to Christ the first time. If you're here and you're a believer and you're in that season of dryness, it comes where you come back to Christ and you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you fellowship with Him and you spend time in His Word. You allow Him to talk to you through His Word and you set aside everything from which you're deriving your own strength and your own merit. And you set that all aside. And you come and you abide in Christ. Let me make it real easy. It's very simple. Stop trying to produce fruit. Just stop. Stop trying to produce your own fruit, because that's not a command here. The command is not for us to produce our fruit. The command is to abide. So don't focus on bearing all the fruit. You come to Christ and you stay near to Christ. And as you do that, He's going to bear fruit through you. So don't get worked up about, I got to bear this fruit. I got to do this. And I got to get some evidence and I got to kind of conjure up some stuff to make it look. No, don't do that. You focus on Christ. You get near to Him. And as you do that, He's going to bear His fruit in you. So don't bear fruit by trying more. Bear fruit by abiding more. Big difference. Big difference. We abide in Christ. We enjoy Christ. We saddle up next to Christ and enjoy Him and fellowship with Him and stay close to Him. And as we do that, He will bear His fruit in us and through us. It's not that complicated. It's hard. My disciple a number of years ago always used to say, Todd, the Christian life, it's not complicated. It's hard, but it's not complicated. He's right. So we just need to go back. We need to go back to that walking with Christ. We need to go back to that intimacy with Christ. We need to go back to the fullness of that relationship with Christ. We go back there. We never graduate. You ever see a branch that says, I think I'm done with you, vine? I don't need you anymore. I want to graduate to being something. No, a branch never graduates from a vine, and we never graduate from Christ. So, how do you do this? How do you do this? I'm going to give you a little preview for next week, and then we'll come and talk about it next week. Look at verse 7. He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. You want to abide in Christ? You allow His word to transform your mind and you spend time communicating with Him in prayer and asking what you wish. That's it. It's word and prayer. If you reduce it to just those legalistic things, you're going to miss it. But it's through the word of God and it's through communication with God that we get to abide in Christ. We'll talk about that next week. I think this is also where the gospel comes in. This is also where the gospel comes in. You can't, listen, you can't meditate on the gospel and not abide in Christ. When your heart is captured with what Christ has done, when your heart is caught up in the fact that Christ went to the cross, and He bore God's wrath against our sin when He was hanging there and He was crying out, it is finished. He was hanging there as a propitiation for our sin, as a sacrifice for our sin. And God's wrath was being poured out on Christ. And you can't stop and meditate on that and be far away from Christ. So go back to the gospel. Friends, you need the gospel today. I need the gospel today. We need the gospel today as a church so that we're abiding in Christ. So preach that gospel to yourself. You're a sinner saved by grace and we're a sinner still sustained by God's grace. Friends, this is good stuff. And it's good stuff because it frees us from all self-effort. It frees us from having to kind of work this stuff up on our own. And it takes us to the cross. And it takes us to Christ. And it takes us to the gospel. And our job is just to remain. Abide. Stay there. And allow Christ to bear his fruit in you and through you.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.